I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Kathy Connolly. She's Director of Public Affairs and Tourism for the Town of Taos. And Cherie Burns, she's a journalist. She's the author of the book Searching for Beauty, The Life of Millicent Rogers. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so we're here to talk about I'm going to call it a phenomenon. It's called Remarkable Women of Taos and Northern New Mexico. And this is basically a theme that comprises a whole lot of different events and works that are happening, all through this year?
Yes, during 2012. We try to have a theme every year. This one is just knock it out of the ballpark, spectacularly popular and wonderful. To leverage media coverage throughout not only the nation but internationally every year, and for a place for our community to participate. So the Remarkable Women of Taos in Northern New Mexico is connected to the Centennial. It's connected to our wonderful museums, core museums, the Millicent Rogers, the Harwood with Agnes Martin Off the Grid exhibit, and the Blumenschein and the Martinez Hacienda, and also our conference centers, the Mabel Dodge House as being one of them, premier. And it's an incredibly appropriate story for Taos. We have not only wonderful contemporary women who are featured on our website, taos.org, and are being added to. We have probably 90 right now, but we're legendary as well as contemporary, and we're adding to that throughout the year. So it's a traveler education theme. We have a rich and complex message, so it's a great way to tell it.
And Taos became a center for, well, in the modern age, the center for kind of a magnet for artists in, I believe, 1898, when somebody's wagon wheel broke and they ended up staying in Taos. Who was that?
Oh, it was Blumenschein and Cherie. Who was the other one?
I think it was
Phillips.
Blumenschein and Phillips.
And they just happened to be traveling through. Their wheel broke.
They were going to, my understanding, Southern California and Mexico to do all sorts of art. The railroads out of Chicago had hired them in the past to do posters of the West, you know, go west on the railroad. And they had a broken wagon wheel north of town, and one of them rode the horse in to get it fixed, and they fell in love with Taos. Taos Pueblo and the small plaza area, Hispanic plaza area of what we now know as the town of Taos. And they just decided this was it. They didn't have to go further.
Well, they were also painters, and I think that both the light and then the Native American form and all that was there and the colors in that, that gave them great things to paint.
And then we know the story of Mabel Dodge Lujan, who came from back east and just decided that this was the place that was going to teach the rest of the world to save civilization.
Well, I think that Mabel, when she came, she fell very much in love with Taos, and as did many Anglo women, particularly of means, who came out here. She fell madly in love with the Indians, and she also saw their culture as a cure for what was going on in the rest of the country. They were the new utopian, or new utopianist was their title. But Mabel was so connected and had been so much a part of Salon culture and also Greenwich Village in New York that wherever she went, she recruited people. And so she became this gateway where a lot of people then followed, including Andrew Dossberg in the arts community there in Taos. So she brought a lot of people, I mean, be it Carl Jung. She got Taos on the map in that sense at that time.
Mm-hmm. D.H. Lawrence. Even Georgia O'Keeffe came out because of Mabel. So she invited people, even if she didn't know them, if she felt that they would get it.
So let's talk for a moment about Millicent Rogers, about whom you've written a book. She was somebody who had, well, first of all, a lot of money, a lot of husbands, a great love with Clark Gable. And how did she end up in Taos?
Well, she came to Taos after a very glamorous life through the first half of the 20th century. She was a Standard Oil heiress, so she went everywhere with a great flourish. But she'd had a love affair with Clark Gable after the war. And when he dropped her, more or less, her friends there, Janet Gaynor and Gilbert Adrian, who was Gaynor's husband, who was a fabulous clothing designer for all of the many of the women in Hollywood, they knew New Mexico. They knew Santa Fe. They knew Pewaukee. And Gilbert Adrian knew Mabel Dodge Luhan. So they brought Millicent here basically to mend her, give her a change of scene and mend her broken heart. I don't think they anticipated that she would fall madly in love with it and it would become her next location, but it was that great convergence of a place and her readiness to be here, and she fell in love and with it, and she stayed.
And she lived here, what, was it the rest of her life?
She lived here for the last 6 years of her life.
And
she came in 47.
How do you see her contribution to New Mexico?
Well, I think that she was a fashion icon before she came to New Mexico. And because of her relationship with Diana Vreeland in New York, she popularized that look that we have come to think of as Southwestern style or Southwestern fashion. And certainly well before Ralph Lauren, well before the hippies and, you know, certain style elements that are in that. I think that's the longest lasting. I think she joined that parade of women that came because it was liberating to be here, because they were ready to shed some of the social and other restrictions of their life in society in the East Coast and other places. But I think she's best remembered for style and fashion. But the time she was here, you know, Millicent was not very well. She had had rheumatic fever as a child. She had a weak heart. And though people remember her for the parties that she had, and she was, boy, was she a collector. She went out on the Indian lands and she bought all of that wonderful pawn jewelry and immediately adopted the Indian broomstick skirts and those fashions. So that is really the longest and most enduring impression of hers, I think.
There is a Millicent Rogers Museum. Tell us about that.
Well, that is a wonderful museum. It's sort of the gem of the Southwest in that it's in an adobe house, not one that was hers. But when she died in 1953, she left, the numbers vary, but certainly more than 2,000 pieces of Indian jewelry and the things that she had collected during her time here. And her mother was still alive, her three sons were still alive, and the story goes, the attorney that came to help with the estate said, "What are we going to do with all this junk?" And the family said, "Let's make a foundation," and that foundation has made its way to being the Millicent Rogers Museum.
Now, what is being shown at the museum for this remarkable women event?
Well, they have, first of all, on Taos.org, we have all the exhibits throughout the year, and there are about seven at the Millicent. There's one having to do with fashion and how fashion impacts society and vice versa. Right now, there's Millicent is featured in many things because her collection is there and wonderful. There's also their gala later this summer, which is a wonderful thing to attend. It's going to be extended 3 or 4 days this August, I believe it is. And then they also have Taos Portraits, which we'll be showing in June, which is a new book of legendary faces of Taos, if you will, that features a lot of women. So again, go to Taos.org and click on Remarkable Women. You can read all about the Millicents.
Now, we can't talk about remarkable women without talking about George O'Keefe and Agnes Martin. Let's talk about Agnes Martin for a moment. There's an intriguing-sounding exhibit called Agnes Martin Before the Grid. We think of her as so much as doing these straight lines and grid paintings, which, for reasons that I've never been able to figure out, are very moving and mesmerizing. What did she do before that?
She did some minimalist work. She did some figurative work. Interestingly enough, I'm no expert on Agnes, but I've been reading about her, and she just wanted to buy back and destroy a lot of her early work.
Is that right?
Because she felt that it wasn't representative of the artist she wanted to be remembered for. But luckily, some of it was saved, and it really, she was convinced not to destroy all of it because it shows the evolution to younger artists of the fact that, you know, you just don't spring forth as a young artist necessarily where you're going to be in 20 or 30 years. So it shows the evolution, and it's part of some writers who are trying to do a better job of describing exactly Agnes's evolution. So it's a great show. If you can get to Taos just to see that show, that's That would be worth it.
This is a great show. You know, the Harwood Museum, they have a yoga class there, and I do that yoga class in that Agnes Martin gallery. And
really?
It's a fabulous room with the Oculus at the top. And, of course, you're always warned not to do a headstand and fall into these very valuable Agnes Martin paintings. But they are the real cool, minimal blue and white ones. And I found it so fabulous to be able to go back and see the earlier work. She may have wanted to disown some of it, but from the viewer's point of view, I think it's very interesting to be able to preface what you're seeing now with what she was doing then.
And the Harwood's gone through an expansion in the last year, too. So the Mandelman Reebok Gallery Beatrice Mandelman will be featured as part of their shows later this year.
And what is Georgia O'Keeffe's role in The Remarkable Women?
Well, certainly we include her. She's fabulous. She didn't really live in Taos, but was a frequent visitor, and I think fell in love with New Mexico in Taos. But Abiquiu is where she's located. We're including not only Abiquiu, but Los Alamos and many other areas. The women in the arts out of Santa Fe are participating, too. So it's including all of northern New Mexico. And there's just so much that I would miss if I tried to feature specific deals. But we do have itineraries that are free and downloadable online that are seasonal that feature all the exhibits.
Well, I have in front of me flyers for a half a dozen self-guided tours and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you've actually made it really not only easy, but just kind of intriguing for somebody who is visiting, or indeed those of us who live here, to do a kind of tour of the Taos area and encounter these remarkable women.
Well, yes, all of us have less and less time on a daily basis. And so
Why is that?
I think it's technology is helping us have less and less time. We're expected to do more and more. So one of the things we recognized also through some national studies of travelers is people say, I love the thought of New Mexico, but what is there to do there? And for some of us in New Mexico who were thinking of a long weekend, this also helps tremendously to have these itineraries that really you can download it again online or come into the visitor center and pick one up, and it really helps you with a nice 3-day vacation. So,
doing a theme like this is not only educational for those of us who are either living here or people who are coming to visit and driving through New Mexico, whatever, it's also really part of the economic development of a city and county like Taos. What does that actually look like?
Well, tourism is very important in Taos, particularly. It's next to construction and government. It's really the largest employer, if you will, if you count every restaurant, hotel, an entity that is focused on the tourism dollar. Tourists tend to spend upwards of $170 a day. That's a state statistic. That's domestic travel. So it's a very important generator. We have a lot of day trippers, and we welcome them with open arms. We try to help them see that there's so much to do in Taos. They need to come back for a second overnighter. But you know, we have many, many jewels in New Mexico. They're all different. They're all unique. And we just want people to come and fall in love with the one that fits their personality and why they travel. So I think we're doing that more and more. I think the state's doing a great job of trying to work with us to do that statewide and to integrate. We have only about 1% of the domestic travel market in the state. And we need to grow that. We're a state that really relies on tourism. I believe it's the third largest economic generator in the state for all of us. So we're trying more and more to collaborate not only throughout our region but throughout the state, with the state. But also, Taos has a unique, complex, and rich story that I think really lends itself to free media. And so these travel themes are really focused on maximizing that. Last week, we were in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and from India to Seattle, we were featured with this theme.
India?
Yes, like the India Daily picked up the story.
So. About remarkable women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it resonates with us. You know, we've all been talking before we got on the air about what's in the water in Taos, that we have so many remarkable women. And
artists in general.
And creative people. And it's just a mecca. It almost generates its own its own energy. And I think certainly Taos Pueblo and our heritage, our creative culture adding to it in 1898, but even today, there are a lot of contemporary artists and writers and musicians, and go on and on.
Well, and even these women, when you look at them closely, they were a very disparate group. I mean, there is certainly that well-to-do Anglo woman that came and did fall in love with the native culture, but Georgia O'Keeffe, she wasn't the most sociable and pleasant person to deal with in a lot of ways. She was reclusive. She was difficult. You have Mabel, who I think was a queen bee, but she was, the door was always open. She was very, very expansive. When you look at them, Millicent was very different. She was not an intellectual. She was a socialite and had been in lots of ways and was used to certainly having her own way and doing things in her own terms. But then you had Helene Wurlitzer, who came and really created what I think is the longest lasting artist in residency program. She eschewed Mabel. You know, these were different personalities, and they all managed to find a way to fit and leave their impression there.
And the website, we feature about 90 contemporary women as well as legendary women from all cultures, all time periods. And we just honored Patricia T. Romero, who is a potter who has passed away from Taos, Puebla, who now has a new historic marker. And there, you know, the legends and stories just go on and on.
Well, as you said before we started, Taos was a creative community before 1898. It goes back another
100-plus years.
Yeah, exactly.
The Taos Pueblo, sure. Macacius pottery being at the top of the list. So, yeah, it is in the water. Taos is inspirational. I think, you know, even if you're popping in for a quick weekend, it's relaxing, rejuvenating, heritage and culture, but it's a relaxing place. Our whole ambiance is supportive of creativity and relaxation.
Yeah, it makes Santa Fe seem like the fast lane.
Yes.
There you go.
Now, Cherie Burns, your book, Searching for Beauty, The Life of Millicent Rogers, has been very popular. You've been doing a lot of traveling. It's gone into, its fourth printing?
It's fourth printing.
What,
excited.
What that kind of great. A nerve do you think it's touching? I mean, to what do you attribute its success? The beauty of this woman? Or?
I think it's the story. When people ask me about Millicent and why I picked her and why you would spend, you know, the four and a half years that I did writing this book, I'm saying, you know, it's that her life was a great story. I mean, it was emblematic of the first half of the 20th century. She was the product of great wealth. She was a debutante. She was a flapper. She lived those heady expat days in Europe. I mean, it was really closer to the end of her life that she came to Taos. That was the real distinctive piece when she quit just going to the forefront of American glamour, really. So it's always hard to put your finger on the appeal of a book, but I think people like a good story. That's why I wanted to do it and why I enjoyed writing it. It was a story that had not been told. It's always fun to do the first comprehensive story. And that's what it was all about. And she was glamorous and had lots of clothes and lots of men
and
lots of lovers.
Her jewelry, designed jewelry. And the museum is exquisite. The collections are just over the top, wonderful. Our European travelers particularly just adore going there.
Cherie Burns is author of the book Searching for Beauty, The Life of Millicent Rogers. Kathy Connolly is director of public affairs and tourism for the town of Taos. Check out taos.org and check out CherieBurns.com. And above all, check out Remarkable Women of Taos in Northern New Mexico. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.